141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard at the midway point between Premiership action and European qualifiers. Michael Beale defends his side's style of play as Fashion Sakala gets set to leave the club ahead of Servette tomorrow. Carl Starfelt appears to be on his way out of Glasgow as Celtic start eyeing replacements, and Hearts continue their summer recruitment drive with the capture of Costa Rican Kenneth Vargas. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, your two favourites, or something along those lines, Gordon Diehl and Mark Wilson.
Yep, well, a big week, Gordon, for our teams once again. European football just round the corner. And for two of our sides, Rangers and Hibs, they have to bounce back from incredibly disappointing weekends. Rangers at home tomorrow against Servette, Hibs versus Luton. So big, big games coming up, and they have to get things on the right track ASAP.
We've just started the season. We're now talking about big games. Obviously for Rangers, after a disappointing trip to Rugby Park, and well done to Kamara. I really enjoyed the weekend's football, Gordon. Enjoyed it that much. I took a trip down the M8 to the capital to watch Hibs and St Mirren. 17,500 turned up for it. It just shows you the product's there. If we can produce week in, week out, the crowds will come out in numbers, and it was the same all over the country. And good entertainment.
I'll get to the real reason you were at Easter Road very soon. But 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, and please do. We're here on Twitter at Clyde SSB, of course. In case you've just come back, your holidays, or you've not heard the news, you can now watch the show as well as listen to it. So for those of you who are looking for a different dining experience this dinner time, feel free to head over to YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and you can watch the show and join in there as well. So lots of ways that you can get in touch and keep across everything that is happening. Where are you then? I think you Rangers fans might still have the weekend on your mind. We had a lot of negativity, a lot of frustration about the performance on last night's show. Those of you who didn't get through, maybe you want to come on and have your say. And then of course it's now with tomorrow in mind. Massive game, Servette. Michael Beale spoke today, defended the way his team play. So what did you make of those comments? How does that match what you're seeing? And Fashion Sakala, it does indeed, well, as Michael Beale said it, he has taken to Instagram like players do these days. He's on his way. What do you make of that? Is that the right move, Rangers fans? Would you like to keep a hold of him? And anything else that goes around your club at the moment, get your calls in. Celtic fans, Carl Starfelt, honestly, can you imagine in Gordon Dalziel's day, it was his dentist that revealed that he was moving club. His lawyer, maybe, I think, not his dentist. But such is the way of it. And yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers alluded to it at the weekend as well. What do you make of that? Is that a good opportunity to try and upgrade that position? Or do you sort of fear the worst that he's actually been a pretty valued member of the squad? Have you got your eyes on any replacements? You can come on and suggest some names. Maybe the Celtic recruitment staff are listening. I know there are some names out there already. But Celtic fans, what do you make of that? And anyone else that's out there, we'll take more praise for you St Mirren fans after the performance at the weekend. Kelly fans, maybe you think last night was all about the Rangers post-mortem. What about credit for your club? And anything else out there, 01419511025. It's a busy old start to the season, Mark.
Certainly is. I mean, not only did we have the opening games of the season that threw up a shock. It's always a shock when Rangers and Celtic get beaten the opening day. But we have players departing, Rangers and Celtic, very early on. Sakala probably split opinions with the Rangers fans. There were some Rangers fans that thought he could do a job, that he brought an element of mayhem when he played. I'm probably of that opinion, that there was something there in him. But others that thought he maybe crumbled when it was an all-important moment in the big games, and he wasn't really the player to take Rangers further. And for Celtic, Starfelt, well, he had his critics. I was one of them sometimes in possession, but I thought he was a terrific defender who struck up a terrific partnership with Carter Vickers. But it looks like he's now gone, and Celtic have to move on and probably bring in someone else to fill that void.
You two are used to this by now. Since we united you on a Tuesday night, Gordon, clearly you get the leftover fallout from the weekend. And then if there is a midweek fixture, those two worlds collide. If you're a Rangers fan, you're waking up this morning, I would imagine, they can tell us on the phone lines, not feeling any better about the weekend's performance, but realising that it has to get better quickly because Servette are about to come to town. you'll tune in, hear what Michael Beale has to say. We'll play that in the not too distant future. That either makes you feel better about things, or it makes you even more annoyed at what's been going on.
Yeah, I think all Rangers fans travelling to Ibrox tomorrow night, Gordon, will be looking for a massive improvement. Of course they will. They'll be looking for a good result to take over there. It'll be a difficult game. What I've seen of this team is the one thing, they're very well organised. They've got off to a good start. They had a terrific result in Belgium. So it won't be a walk in the park. Rangers will need to play a lot better. And I think the most interesting thing for a lot of people is Michael Beale get criticised for his team selection at the weekend, rightly or wrongly. At the end of the day, that's, you know, Michael Beale's decision. I'm interested to see what he's going to start with tomorrow night at Ibrox.
I think he rightly got criticised for his team selection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing doing it and you get away with it and you win, but when you play in that manner and you get beat, then you have to take it on the chin. Mm-hmm. I thought the Cantwell one was a strange one. There might be some reason. I know Michael Beale said that maybe the early part of the game didn't suit him, but I'm always of the opinion, get your best players on the pitch and let the game unfold before, you know, you can make that decision. Maybe you can make that decision after the game and say, well, the game didn't suit him, so I shouldn't have played. But get your best players on the pitch, especially someone as creative as him. And it seemed like the style, I've seen in social media, I was listening to a show last night, people saying there was no style. I looked at that when we were in the studio and we were just about to leave. Very, very direct. More direct than I can remember a Rangers side. Now, that could have been to do with the surface, but it kept happening. Surely you've got to change up a bit as the game wears on and you figure out that's not really working. The command at the back line were kind of dealing with it with ease. So I think the criticism is merited, but Michael Beale will have to take it on the chin and the team will have to perform much, much better if they're going to get through this Champions League qualifying.
Okay, well, let's hear a bit from Michael Beale, Rangers fans, and you can let us know what you make of this. Give us a call right now, please, 01419511025. He is defending Rangers' style of play. There has been a lot of criticism for that performance on Saturday, but he thinks this busy schedule coming up might actually help them improve.
Listen, there's loads of coaches after a game you don't win. That's the nature of the business. That's being a football coach. You try to black that out. You believe in the work that you're doing. The team played the same way and won a hell of a lot of games last season, scoring lots of goals. So, and certainly away from home. So, you know, when it's right, it's right. And when it's wrong, I get it. And it's everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I believe the way that we play is fine. We just have to be a bit more decisive. I think at this moment in time, more playing and less analysing, and you know, you can only play the next game. You don't start 1-0 up or 1-0 down. You just play the next game that's in front of you. And I think that the ball needs to roll a little bit. We've signed good players. They come from good pedigree. They come from good clubs. You all went and done the background checks on them coming in. So, okay, let's just get on with playing. The fans will get behind the team as long as the team play with the energy of the fans and they want to see, which is what everybody inside is pushing for as well.
What do you think, Rangers fans? Is that fair? 01419511025. Let's ask Paul on the line. Paul, the dust starting to settle a bit from the weekend. What's on your mind now?
Hi, thanks for letting me on. Guys, I tried to go on yesterday, but obviously it's been a busy few days. But I kind of just try to rationalise things in my head. But I'll be honest with you, might sound a bit of a scattergun, but I've been saying it for a while, to be honest. I've had my doubts about James Tavernier as captain of the Rangers, to be honest. I think he's come through a period of failure. You know, he's been the captain when Celtic have gone to win four trebles. He's been in countless cup finals where we've lost. He's been through periods of managers. And I'll be honest with you, Dick Adrick had it in the late 90s. He made a tough call. He took the captaincy off of Am Russo and gave it to a young Barry Ferguson, who got into, you know, to be a great captain with Rangers. And I'll be honest with you, I think we need that level of change. I know it's only after the Kilmarnock game, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't see any leadership from Tavernier. I know he scores goals, I know he scores cracking goals, he's got assists and all that, it's a right back, you can't argue against that, but doesn't make you a great captain. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not in the Ibrox day in and day, I don't see what happens in the training pitch, but I've seen many games where we've went and got beat. So Kilmarnock, there and then, I've seen more from Jack Butland urging the team to move forward than I did James Tavernier. I don't see him mumbling saying we need a shout or a screamer and that in the pitch, but it would help a wee bit. And I'll be honest with you, he comes out with the same statement again and again and again. And to me, it made me laugh a bit rather than cry. But he says, oh, we're going to play a European game. The European teams play a wee bit different than the Scottish teams. He's been in Scottish football for 7 years. He knows the way we're going to come up against stuffy teams. I'm getting really cheesed off with it, if I'm being honest with you. I don't see... I'll give Bill more credit because he's brought in new players. So I know it takes time. 1998-99 season, Azucar lost his first game on two and a treble. But I've went to all the pre-season games. I don't see any identity. I think we play far too narrow. He plays two central defensive midfielders. I don't know why he played Lundstrom and Raskin. I just don't get it. He's much more... I know Mark, I heard Mark there saying we're much more attacking, but it didn't feel like that, Mark. It felt we were a pedestrian. It's that slow build-up. You can predict the way we play. Do you know what? I laughed. I said, I bet he makes us up at 60 minutes. He did. I bet he takes Dessers off and puts Danilo on. Aye. It's like for like replacements. I'll take Lundstrom off. I'll bring on another central defender. Midfielder. But why can you not mix it up? Why not make the change at 45 minutes? It wasn't working.
All right. I'll tell you what. There's a few good points made, Paul. Let's do them in reverse order, if you like. Identity was the word, and it can be one of these buzzwords that gets thrown around, maybe overused a little bit in football speak at the moment, Mark. But is that where a lot of the Rangers fans are struggling a bit at the moment? Michael Beale was clearly asked about it today. He says, I think the way we play is fine. We've won a lot of games and we scored a lot of goals last season. Is there an identity? What is it at the moment? How would you describe what you see?
What I saw at the weekend was a bit what Paul says, a bit pedestrian. What I meant about getting the ball forward more direct, numerous occasions under no pressure, Tavernier, Goldson, whoever, Suter was just going direct and trying to go over the top. Now, that's not very entertaining to watch. I get it can be effective in some games and for a period of a game, maybe the opening stages, but to keep doing it, then you start to think they kind of ran out of ideas. I think the Rangers fans going along this year were really expecting something, not so much groundbreaking, but something different from what they've seen year after year. I think they expected a departure from the usual formation that they've been playing, the 4-3-3 or whatever variation of that they were playing. I think they were looking for an out-and-out two up top, and it looked like that at times at the weekend, and it looked like a diamond, but it seemed to be the same tactics. If it wasn't direct, it was shunted out wide to Tavernier or Barisic, and it was one touch and put the ball in the box. No real invention round the box, no real creativity, and that's why I was so surprised with the omission of Cantwell, because last season, when he came in, he was the one player that gave it that wee bit of creativity. So I'm struggling to kind of put my finger on what it is Beale's been working on.
To be fair, right, it's one game. It's away from home, difficult fixture, pitch that everybody identifies, same for both sides. I thought he played the pitch at the weekend. I think that's why Cantwell was left out, because I thought Rangers, under Beale, with the new players, his team, all these new players in there, would have played a different brand, different style of football. It was the most direct I've ever seen a Rangers team playing for a long, long time. So I think he went down there with a game plan to get the ball early, very quickly, and hope he's forwards. He sat there with his midfield, tried to make it nice and solid, win the battle in there. We're picking the bones out of it, because if he goes down there and the result goes for him, everything's fine. But when you're a Rangers manager, you brought in so many players.
But result and performance were both missing, weren't they? Yeah. It's not as if, like, you can lose games of football and, they could have battered Kilmarnock, nick it, and you think, look, 9 times out of 10 that way we played will work, but I don't think any Rangers fans will feel that way.
I was listening to Paul there talking about identifying style of play and everything. I went along to one of the pre-season games at Ibrox, and I'm sitting and I was watching, and I'm thinking, I don't see the pattern here, right? I don't know what he's trying to do. I know that he's got a formation in possession, formation out of possession. It looked like me that they hadn't enough time to work on that. I thought players didn't really understand where they had to be. It was the same on Saturday. But I agree with Michael Beale. It's early. How many players Absolutely. Have come in? They're getting used to playing with Rangers, getting used to the Scottish game. They've got a massive game tomorrow night because there's got to be a lot of pressure on them. And it's only early in the season. And then they've got Livingston at the weekend. So it's a big 4 days for Rangers, I think.
There's a lot of ground to cover quickly, Paul, because you kicked off with James Tavernier, and we've heard this loads. It's such a popular, if that's the right phrase, argument about his suitability as captain. Is that Rangers' biggest problem though right now? I think that's what some of the... It's not so much that people defend James Tavernier, it's maybe people saying, is that a huge issue? Would it really change? Does it change anything? What do you do? You take the captaincy off him, you give it to someone else. Does it really change anything? Does it really achieve anything? Do you really believe that it would?
Well, I feel it didn't. I know I go back to it, but Barry Ferguson became the captain. Why did that happen? That was a big change, but it made a difference, to be honest. So I just feel he's been with Rangers so long. My point is that he's been through so much failure. I just think it needs a rebrand, and I think we've changed managers, and I just think maybe a different type of captain. It might make a difference, but do you know what? I guess it's one game in, but I went to all the pre-season games as well, and I pick up on what Gordon says. There isn't any identity, and Michael Beale talks a good game. Everything he says, his articles, his press, and we've got, I'll take the handbrake off, we'll do this and I'll do that. I don't see it. There's a reluctance at Ibrox. I know Mark's not about tactics here. I mean, he's a pro. I wasn't. But just think there's a reluctance to have. there's a reluctance to have two up front. It's as if, why have you got to take Dessus off and bring Daniel? And I know I hang on to it all the time, but I see annoys me. I see my rivals. See that with Celtic. Celtic went there last year and smashed Kilmarnock 3-4-0.
Yeah. Just quickly, Paul, because the break is fast approaching. I want to try and pin Mark down on it. You played, you're a pro, Paul said, so we hear. Did you ever play in a team where you think, we've got the wrong captain, the captain's the problem? Did you ever think that
first game at Easter Road?
Because it was him.
My man.
Very quick, yes.
Maybe more specifically, would it actually change anything for Rangers? Or is it, out of the stage where you're kind of, clutching for solutions?
Actually, it's a funny one. I'm not going to name names because it's unfair, but early on in my career when I was playing, there was a couple of captains that weren't right. Very quiet in the dressing room, and there were stronger personalities, and I think a change came shortly after, and it did have an effect, positive effect. I don't know what James Tavernier is like in the dressing room. Look, Paul makes a reasonable point. You get the same captain, I don't think it would take anything away from James Tavernier's performance, but Paul's maybe right. Maybe it does need a rebrand. Maybe it does need something different.
And does I think not just Rangers feel like a shot in the dark a bit?
But what you've got to,
actual material
what you've got to take into consideration, Paul said there, James Tavernier's been at Rangers, what, 7 seasons? Right, how many managers has Rangers had? They've had a few managers. Every manager comes in. Now, if they didn't think that Tavernier had the captain's, leadership, then they would have changed it. Everyone's kept him as a captain, right. So he must have something.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Paul. Scott is in Govan, and he is coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. Yes, we are still here on the live stream, I believe. You two haven't done anything to disgrace yourselves yet.
Not yet.
1 week in, you've survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I tell you what.
What about him during the break, though? Saying, do you think my biceps look bigger?
I did.
He did.
Saying he's been working
he
on them for the cafe.
He did. Right, and he says to John there, he's been in the gym more often. And he's been at a local shop, I'd be allowed to say. It's Zara.
Looking sharp.
He's never been in Zara in his life until we started going live. And he said, do you like my new trainers? Because that camera angle picks up his trainers.
They're a size 2E. My feet are killing me.
Two possibilities here. Either you have, or that is the tightest sleeve I've ever seen you buy before. So,
well, I've got the honest truth, right? I tell the truth.
Black is slimming as well.
I went for a small just so that the arms look bigger.
No way that's it.
No,
and you notice how he just goes out just before we start, and I think he's going out there.
I've got some weights out there.
That big bathroom in there is spacious for what it's worth if you're that way inclined.
You're a joke.
I'm running out of clothes.
A man of your age tensing his biceps for the camera. Goodness. Remarkable. Anyway, let's bring in Scott and Govan, who's been hanging on for ages. I am sorry, Scott. You've been hanging on, and here's me talking rubbish about Gordon Dalziel's arms. So, what's on your mind tonight?
Basically, it's the Rangers signing the nine players. As a Rangers fan, see when it got to like six or seven players, I kind of started to worry a wee bit, because trying to gel and get all these guys, nine players into any kind of system, is going to be a massive, massive task. I was thinking more than the lines of, would it be better signing four or five, bedding them in, and then going for a couple more in January? That's the kind of way I was thinking. Okay, you might have missed out on a couple of players that you wanted, but still, I thought that was maybe the better way to do it. It was maybe four or five signings, and then maybe three or four in January.
How do you manage it though, Scott? How do you manage it, right? If we talk pure numbers, right, in an attacking sense, Kent, Morelos, Colak, Tillman, and now Sakala left the club. So that's five. So even if your five that you're talking about is just a direct replacement for them, you're then almost left with just that. You've just balanced it, and there's no freshness elsewhere. Every Rangers fan phoned in last season and said, you know, this, it needs a rebuild, it needs a revamp. I'm sorry, I know the comparison won't really amuse you, but you know, Celtic had a massive rebuild last year, and if it was good enough, it worked, and it did all gel. Should we really be sort? You really think, like, you know, capping the number of new signings, is that really the solution?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I just felt as if nine was just a massive, massive task for anybody to get that going. But I don't know. What really worries me as well is, out of all the kind of new signings played, I couldn't pick out one where I thought, right, well, he's going to be a player. None of them even looked as if they were going to come on and be a player. And that really worries me, because they did look very mediocre.
And that's the thing. Maybe they did, right? And I wouldn't tell Scott they didn't. It's one game though, isn't it?
It's definitely. It's only one game, but
no, it's tough.
The problem here for Scott is if Rangers had only brought five in and they lost that game at the weekend, I think Scott would be on here saying we needed more players. I think it's a reaction to...
And five new signings started. You know, not all nine played, obviously.
It's a reaction to the performance. It's a reaction to the result. And I totally understand that, because we've said on here for the last few weeks that Rangers have got to hit the ground running. They didn't go off to the best start of the weekend. Celtic, obviously, early kickoff, getting the 3 points, putting a little bit of pressure on. But there's a lot of football to be played. Rangers play a lot of games, so they need a big squad. So I was not surprised that Michael Beale brought in as many players, because you named five there forward line, just went out the door. You know, McGregor, just goalkeeper. Yeah. So they needed a goalkeeper right away.
Scott Arfield
as well, midfield player. So they need cover. So the nine, I'm not surprised. Are they going to get the nine, everyone hitting the ground running? Absolutely not. But where my concern is, and I do agree with Scott on this point, is I've looked at Rangers twice now, and I think none of those signings, the close season signings, has really made me sit up and take notice and think, oh, he's going to take Scottish football, you know, by storm. They've just not done that yet. But I'll get back to Michael Beale.
Who did you tip for your player of the year?
I don't know yet. I can't remember.
I remember.
He didn't tell me.
He tipped Danilo.
So hold on a minute.
Hold on.
Rangers haven't signed anyone that's going to take the Premiership by storm, but you've tipped Danilo to be player of the year.
I said I've not seen any of them yet. Remember, it's only one game.
So why did you tip Danilo?
Yeah. You told me.
He can't even blame me.
We were sitting. I thought, I don't want to go the same as you, because we were nearly the same in the tip, sure. Right? And he says, go with somebody at Rangers. Oh, Danilo. Oh, just come in for X, Y, and Z. And I went, that's a great show.
Your parents used to say, If he did, would you do it?
You know what I mean? We're a partnership.
I've
went, look, it's early. He come on as sub. You can't judge him all of a sudden tomorrow night.
The thing about the numbers game, which makes it a really tough one to put your finger on, because Scott might be right. Nine might be, it just might be too many for Rangers to gel. Someone out there like me on this occasion would point out how quickly Celtic gelled previously. And that doesn't mean that Scott's wrong though, because you know it's different circumstances. And then Stephen says Kelly signed eight players.
Exactly.
And I think it's more than that Kelly have signed all in.
And if you look at every other team throughout the leagues as well, you know, the comings and goings are greater as you move down the leagues. So I don't agree with Scott. I think nine players, I think you touched on it, Gordon. No, nine come in and start the game, and it's a first taste of Scottish football. You go through that Rangers side,
on Saturday, Tavernier, you've obviously got Suter in there, and Barisic and Lundstrom and guys that have been there. Anyway, so they all underperformed. So I think the worrying thing is, you made the comparison with Celtic and how they came in, and they were slow starters, of course, when Ange Postecoglou lost games and Kyogo just stepped off the plane for Japan. They came off the bench and Starfelt was just in the door, and the loss was at three at their first six and came back and blitzed the league. The problem is Postecoglou was new in, and he was discovering a new way to play with these new players. Michael Beale's been here now for a reasonable amount of time, where the code of the group still there. And I don't know if Rangers fans are seeing the improvement in that core and the manager that they were expecting.
I think Kilmarnock started seven new signings, but again, that doesn't mean that Rangers might not gel next week or the week after. It's just, that's the sample that we've got at the moment, I suppose. Thank you to Scott and Govan. What about Tom and Guruk? What are you thinking, Tom?
Good evening, panel. Gordon, good evening, panel.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
What
are you
thinking? Well, I think one game, don't get me wrong, Rangers fan, disappointed, obviously disappointed with the result, but I think you take everything into context, you know, as I says to Scott earlier, that plastic parts, a lot of these guys who were on that, well, certainly a few of them were on the park on Saturday, would never experienced this. You know, I know it's fine for both teams, but come on, I'm used to it. These guys who we've signed come in. You know, I think it's taking the extremes, and as I says earlier to Scott again, that you think the league was lost already. You know, I mean, it takes time for players to gel. I'm sure, well, Mark played, and so did Gordon.
Oh, I was waiting for that. Oh, it's just Mark for a minute.
Well, do you know, I was going after
it was a while
Tom.
Ago, to be fair. Tom, you're right, it was a while ago.
Didn't he play?
Well, you know, when you look at his resume, you know, many times did he play for Rangers, and sometimes I actually, when I'm listening on the radio, I say, did you actually play for Rangers when you slag him off at times?
Oh, it started so well, and then he thought, I'm going to go for a wee. Well done, Tom. Actually,
and you, because you played for them, you're not allowed to criticise them. That's the rule, isn't it? I think. No?
Yep.
I think you've just got to give an honest opinion, I think it's called.
People, I don't know what this is. I do quite often get messages saying Gordon DL is the most honest pundit you've got. Yeah. I don't know what that means. You're not genuinely.
I agree with him.
I'm assuming it's.
I know a few people who wouldn't agree.
100%.
You're the most honest.
100%. You still keep in there.
Or do you think he's just spent his life telling people what they want to hear?
Well, that's that. He's an expert at that.
He manages to do it.
He's reeling you all in.
Tom, Tom's, look, it's one game. You would think the league is lost already, was Tom's headline. And a bit in there about plastic pitches as well. Do you see any leeway given?
100%. I always thought it was going to be a difficult opening start for Rangers. You know, you can go down there, the pitch does play a part in it, and Tom's right, Kilmarnock train on it every single day, they're used to it. But that's not an excuse. Kilmarnock deserve to win the game, let's be honest about it.
I was down doing some stuff on Kilmarnock's pitch last week, and not playing, working obviously. And I had these shoes on, I put them on today and found all the
rubber bits.
Like when you're playing five a side. I put them on, I thought,
they get everywhere, don't they?
I've not been playing fives in these shoes, surely, and then it clicked. Anyway.
Yeah, but
and just not play their opening game last season at Livy in the classic pitch and won.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, how many times have we been here?
Look, for me, it's one result. It's a bedding in time for some players. They can't afford to, you know, keep. I think the biggest thing is the performance. You touched on it earlier, Gordon. See, if you go to Rugby Park and you see signs of the pattern they play, and they're playing very attractive football, and Kilmarnock nip it with a set play, which they did do. They won the game with a set play. You walk away and say, do you know what? We really played well there. I was very impressed with two or three of the new signings. I like the formation. I like the way we're going forward. I don't think Rangers fans can come away from Rugby Park and sit over the last couple of days and think that, but I still think there's plenty to come. They've got two home games coming up, two big home games, and all of a sudden we could be sitting here next Tuesday and it's a completely different picture. And Tom will think I'm a good Rangers, ex-Rangers player.
Thank you, Tom. I don't know if Tom and Gordon are going to hit it off, I must say, but thank you for your call. Let me tell you, before we go any further, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The Cash Register.
Clyde One.
I've been absolutely loving hearing these. And today, Gillian from Easterhouse, she just dropped her sister off at the airport when she got that cash register call.
Oh my God. Oh, I don't know what to say without swearing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I so honestly don't know what to say.
Gillian, here's an idea. Turn round, go to the airport, get yourself on a flight as well. Upgrade it for all it's worth. Now it's your chance to win £58,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. To enter now, text yes to 61025. That's yes to 61025. If you get a call from us after 3 o'clock on Wednesday the 9th of August, answer within five rings. Make sure you know the correct cash register amount. The texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entries £2 or call 0330 880 4523. The calls are charged at a standard rate, over 18s only. And all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. £58,000. Text yes to 61025. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are here on the usual number on Twitter as well. Speaking of Twitter, I was obviously having a little skim through there during the break just to see what was happening, and a Radio Clyde News tweet popped up about youngsters receiving their exam results. Did I see a picture of your son, Mark Wilson, getting about 44 A's?
Yeah, he's clicking them.
I
did well. What did he get? Well, he got 5 A's or something like that. I got them all A's. Right. That's easier way of doing it. All A's.
On behalf of everybody that's listening, and no offence, where does he get that from?
Well, I'd have homeschooled him for the best part of a year and a half,
I'm going to take all the credit.
I think you're putting him in a difficult position with that question.
Well, you know, but seriously.
No, he's done great. I was proud of him. Hard work, yeah. Kids, there you go. You work hard, you get the results.
And you
now, let's see if
we
can get a job. That's the hard thing. I'm taking the credit. Of course I'm.
Would he beat you at Beat the Pundit?
No, he knows nothing about football. That's
his mistake. Don't fill your head with nonsense.
He's more into good stuff. Academic stuff. Well done, Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Jacob and anyone else out there, of course. Never mind, Gordon Diehl.
Dutch medalist at Dale High, man. They named the school after me, you know that.
Let's move on. Joe is on the line. Joe, how's it going?
It's going okay. How are you guys?
Not bad. What's your point tonight?
I'm just on to give Gordon Diehl a hell of a lot of credit.
Thanks, Joe.
My least favourite type of call.
Well, it's honestly the best way of going forward in life. And I'm being honest. This guy, Gordon Diehl, has been growing about this player for about, 7-8 months easily. I listen to his show every night and I've heard him talking about this young boy. And even, I think you know who I'm talking about, I think even under Ange, he wasn't given a chance. And it just sums up this guy's character. And Matt O'Reilly, after the game on Saturday, I don't know if you've seen the interview, put it in and said, you know, he's a true professional. He's been trying his heart out. He's never missed a training session. And I think for Celtic, this is going to be the best thing we've had. You know, he's got a new player for us. And obviously, it's David Turnbull I'm talking about.
Oh, big build-up. Kept us waiting 3 minutes for the name, Joe. But I think most of us saw what you were doing. It was nice, a nice set of clues. And Gordon Diehl, I think Joe wants to give you credit for always having faith in David Turnbull, or words to that effect.
Look, I think everybody had faith in his ability. It was just an opportunity the boy needed. And unfortunately, I'm not blaming Postecoglou. Postecoglou won the treble.
Didn't he?
Yeah, so you can't really argue his decisions. But as a player, you're sitting there and you're hoping for an opportunity to show what you can do. David Turnbull is a very talented footballer. We know that. He was terrific at Motherwell, got his move, obviously, to Celtic. He's been patient, and give him all the credit in the world. He's waited, and he's got a little bit of luck at the end of the season, because the manager that probably David Turnbull would have probably moved on. I think we all agree with that, because he had to play football if Ange Postecoglou had still been there. A different style of manager come in, Brendan Rodgers, and decided, probably watching him in training, known him before, decided, look, he's the sort of player that I want in my team. Mm. Now, what you can only do as a manager is you can only give the player the opportunity. It's then up to the player to grasp that opportunity with both hands. David Turnbull has been absolutely brilliant. In fact, as much as I think Hatate is a wonderful player, I didn't look at Celtic and think that, oh, they missed Hatate because Turnbull was playing. Turnbull was brilliant. He's been brilliant in the pre-season games. He's got his head down. He's worked hard. He deserves his place just now.
So you were impressed with what you saw, Joe, and you think it could be the start of something?
I do. Honestly, I think the guy's great. I know the guy personally, where he comes from. He played with the local football team, Mary, before I moved to Hartlepool. I know his commitment. I know a lot about the boy. Actually, I know his family. And I've always wanted a chance to give him Gordon's probably 100% right. I thought he would move on, and I think if Ange was still here, he would have moved on. But I think he'll be the next Callum McGregor. I think now the young lad will just push on and push on and push on.
High praise. I suspect, Mark, there's even a high possibility / guarantee that David Turnbull thought he would move on.
I think so. I don't think he would have been desperate to leave a club like Celtic, but no. He understood that he has to play football, because he'll still have ambitions of breaking into that international side, and he's got the talent to do it, but he needs the game time. I think Brendan Rodgers is going to be key for him and his development. Now, Brendan Rodgers said at the weekend, in his first spell here, he saw David Turnbull, he liked him. Did he try and sign him? And then Turnbull get injured, maybe.
I remember if that was
the time frames maybe out. But then, obviously, Neil Lennon signed him. But Brendan Rodgers admitted that he liked his game. He's got the talent. Now, sometimes it only needs a manager to have that word with you, point you in the right direction. And by all accounts, Ange Postecoglou wasn't that type for Turnbull. He might have been that type for other players,
no,
but not
I
for
Turnbull.
I don't
think he was. No, that was okay. Just his style. I don't think there was any real communication. And again, there's no point in rewriting it. Whatever it was, it worked at the time.
Of course it worked, but it didn't work for David Turnbull because he got very few minutes. Now he's got new lease of life, but Daz is right. He's got given the opportunity, but he had to take it, and he didn't Saturday.
Well, let's hear from the man himself amid this praise. David Turnbull says he does feel like he's got, you know, a fresh start at Celtic. He says Brendan Rodgers has told him the belief that he's got in him, and he's been opening up on the more advanced role that he played on Saturday.
I'm happy for the manager to select me in the starting 11 and to get 2 goals and a good result for the team. That always helps. Came into pre-season, I knew I was just going to keep the head down, work as hard as I could throughout pre-season, play as well as I could in every game, and give them all. So yeah, it feels like it's a kind of fresh start, so I'll make it continue. It was nice to have him to come up and kind of speak to me, put an arm around me a wee bit and kind of just tell me he believes in me, and kind of I'm trying to take on board the ideas that he's putting across to me as well, so I'm just working as hard as I can to try and impress him. Yeah, it was a bit further up, kind of Cal and Matty were behind, and me and Kyogo could try to play off each other, and then Ross County would come kind of try and man mark a lot of us, so it was tough at times, but enjoyed being up there and just try to make some runs in behind and come to feet as well and link up.
Thank you, Joe. Let's go straight to Thomas, who's up north. Thomas, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. Yourself?
Yeah, all good here, all good. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm thinking final, man. I'm a Celtic supporter, but I think it's down to the quality of signings that Celtic have made and that Rangers have made. I know we haven't spent a lot of money, but do you know what the big difference is? The big difference is that, see the players that we've signed, see at their previous clubs, they were playing week in, week out. Rangers' signings, some of them have had a couple of games, but the majority of them, even some of them were in relegation battles. They weren't playing. They weren't playing. Some of them weren't even getting on the bench. And what the trouble is now is they've came without playing a lot of football at their previous club at all. They've had about 4 or 5 warm-up games, which are pre-season warm-up, fair dues, and then you go to Kilmarnock, where they're going to be right in your face on that awful park, which is an embarrassment to Scottish football, by the way, but on that awful park, and they've got to get it together soon. But the trouble is, Michael Beale will not know his best 11 until maybe the end of September, October time. And by then, it might be too late for the league. And the fans, their fans will turn on him, man. There's no two ways about it.
I get that. I mean, Thomas has backed up his point with the explanation, Mark. I think the signings that come here, though, are going to fit into different categories. If you're going to sign a player from Serie A or certain reaches of the Eredivisie or whatever, it probably is going to be players that weren't getting a game.
Yeah.
Because you won't get the guys that are playing all the time and playing well. Or then, as Thomas says, you are signing players like Celtic have mostly done probably in recent times from leagues that are so-called smaller leagues, and therefore you're taking the guys that are playing regularly. I'm always loath to sort of say that, you know, one thing will always work for you and the other one won't, because there are bound to be examples either way that contradict it.
Yeah, of course there will, and it's probably easier for Thomas to point out just now after Saturday's results.
It's relevant just now.
Celtic signings in recent times from the Asian market, the season's maybe just coming to the end or well into it, and they've came, so very little's needed in terms of pre-season or preparation. They just continue what they've been doing. The problem is you get the tail end of your season, you think, is there fatigue there? But Celtic's got that bigger squad that they dealt with perfectly well. Whether maybe some of these Rangers guys, Thomas is right, maybe not played a lot of football, but they just really need to get 10 or 12 games under their belt before they really get up to speed. That is a long time, but they may just click. You never know. It's hard to judge. Certainly in Saturday's evidence, it looks that way, but it can change so quickly.
Here's one to throw on you a bit, Thomas, as we approach the news. You're talking about signings. I think it looks like Celtic are going to have to make another one. Carlos Starfelt leaving. What do you make of that?
Without a doubt. I mean, because he's girly, went to Lisbon, but that's what it's going to be. If he wants to be where and he wants to go, that's fine. But as long as we get somebody with quality in. But see with Rangers as well. The trouble is they've got no speed. They've got no speed anymore. They've took away all their width. And do you know what? That is bread and butter to your Kilmarnocks, your Motherwells, your Ross Counties, all the teams. Big crosses coming in. It's that is bread and butter for these centre-halves. And I think they're in trouble, mate. I really do.
With no offence meant, I'm sure, to Jacinta, as being referred to as Carl Starfelt's girly. It's a nice change, because you used to change clubs to get away from people.
Yeah. Look, I don't buy that. My wife moved to London. I stayed with Radio Clyde. So you've got to be loyal. Starfelt is obviously making a move that at this time in his career probably suits him. I think it is a bit of a loss. I like Starfelt. I liked him. I know he had his faults, and we highlighted the fact of coming out from defence and the use of the ball. Sometimes he get caught a little bit. That's where he was at his slackest. But I liked him as a defender. I thought him and Carter Vickers were a good partnership. But you get to a certain point in your career that you maybe just look at a different avenue to go to. So he's decided that he wants to go and play in a different country now.
It may well be personally driven, Mark Wilson. Yeah. That's up to him. Let's not. I think that's where we could get ourselves in bother on this show and the live stream gets taken away from us. Yeah. But it does look like Carlos Starfelt's leaving for whatever reason. Gustav Lagerbielka is one of the names being mentioned. Swedish replacement. Swede for Swede, if you like.
Yeah, I do think it's a shame that Starfelt's left.
He's not.
Well, he had these faults, but I still think I would have liked to have seen him battle and out with Navroski in there for that position. But Gustav Lagerbielka, is that how you pronounce it? 23, £3 million, Swedish internationalist, seems to fit the bill, seems to have the attributes, and he's coming, like Thomas was just saying there, part way through his season, so doesn't he really need a pre-season? He's playing games. So
what about the modern way? A player's dentist revealing that it's
amazing. Huh?
Starfelt's dentist on Instagram with a big goodbye, letting everybody know.
The Spanish flag on it as well, just in case anybody was in any doubt which country he was going to. There you go. Huh? What a service. Brilliant. Hopefully, he gave him that work for free then.
I'd like to think so. Anyway, thank you, Thomas. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What's your verdict? Your record? Sorry, under the lights.
Well, I've been here for not played, so
I'll see if we can change that tonight.
I've got 100% record. G,
do you
played one, lost one?
Right, I thought it was going to be a good 100%. It is Beat the Pundit time. You've got until 7 o'clock to call 01419511025, and it could be you taking on Mark Wilson or Gordon Dale next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson still here. You can get in touch on the usual number or on Twitter. If you're just joining us, we've been hearing from Michael Bealey's defending Rangers style of play after the weekend's disappointment, looking ahead to Servette in the Champions League qualifiers tomorrow. That Fashion Sakala's on his way out. We've not really touched on that yet, so that's one that you can maybe give us a call about. Rangers fans, Celtic fans, Carl Starfelt, similar story. What do you make of that exit that's about to happen? Have you got your eye on any replacements yet? Anything else that's out there? I did see some St Mirren calls coming in. Hopefully it will do them soon. And anything else whatsoever, 01419511025 after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Gordon Dale has played one, lost one this season. Mark Wilson's yet to play under the pressure of the live stream, those big studio lights. A man who's as red-faced as you are normally, is that going to be a concern to you?
I don't think so. I think he'll deal with it.
He'll deal with it if he gets the first one correct. Yeah. If he gets the
bottle
first,
totally goes, doesn't it?
Crashes.
What camera is it? Is that one?
I think it's that one there when you're speaking. Give it a wave. That's the one that's going to be zoomed right in on you. What about last night? Roger Hannah. Camera on him. Kept his eyes open.
Did he?
And did he win?
He did.
Oh, he's a changed man.
For years he's had his eyes closed, but he says it's because he didn't like to look at you when he used to do the show with you.
Listen, I just admire his neighbour's dream. Unbelievable. He's just a man of knowledge.
Frasier. Abs. I referred to last night.
I was watching that last night and I used that name. I couldn't stop.
The best
laughing
thing about this live stream is just the number of lookalikes that you lot apparently have. It's like, where was the one that I got? I got a good one for you earlier that I quite enjoyed.
Wilson or me?
No, it's you, obviously.
Good.
Gear. Where was it? I just wanted to give the person the credit. I can't find it, but I'll always remember the name. It was someone tweeted to say that their partner had just glanced up at the screen and said that you looked like Wayne Lineker.
I take it that's Gary's brother.
Not a chance. He wishes.
Is he a looker, is he?
No, but he's better looking than you.
Listen, a lot of people are better looking.
He hangs about the ocean.
Well, I think, let's move that one on. Heads is Mark Wilson, tails it's Gordon Dale, but it's certainly going to be James and Ayre. How's it going, James?
How's it going, lads? We're all right.
James, you sound like a relatively young man. Is that fair?
Actually 30 years old, but I guess
that's young. That's definitely young. So you don't really remember when Gordon Dale was like out and about in air, no?
No, I don't. It's for the best. Still rings around the town.
I'll bet. There anyway, you go. Heads it is Mark Wilson, and tails it is former air resident Gordon Dale. And you're getting away with murder this season.
Oh,
Mark Wilson,
it's again,
tails.
That's a shame.
It's right. Ayrshire's finest.
Okay, let's all the best, James.
He's not interested.
No, okay.
Right, let's give Gordon DL some greatest hits radio to listen to. Lovely, I can even hear it from here. James, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that's fine by me, okay?
Yep.
Top man, your time starts now. What English team does Stuart Armstrong play for?
Pass.
Who's got the bigger stadium capacity, Dundee or Dundee United?
Dundee United.
And who did Ange Postecoglou manage prior to Celtic?
The Japanese team, pass.
Which Scottish League 2 team has a fish on its badge?
Pass.
Managing My Life is the autobiography of which Scottish manager?
Dan McInnes.
How many Japanese players currently play for Hearts?
One.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Is there a reason you snorted down the mic during that?
What? I just come back there.
What's funny?
I was just funny. He just keeps
juvenile schoolboys.
Yeah, he was just having a giggle. He's shaking his head.
How easy it was.
Think the easy question?
Yeah, very. Okay, let's go.
Same set of questions to Gordon DL. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What English team does Stuart Armstrong play for?
Southampton.
Who's got the bigger stadium in terms of capacity, Dundee or Dundee United?
Dundee United.
Who did Ange Postecoglou manage prior to Celtic?
Mariners.
Which Scottish League 2 team has a fish on its badge?
Fish patch.
Managing My Life is the autobiography of which Scottish football manager?
Alex Ferguson.
How many Japanese players currently play for Hearts?
Two.
Okay. I did not like that face you pulled during that.
I struggled.
I think that was the face you were pulling last week when you were off sick. Say that again.
I struggled there. I tried a Roger Hanna.
That was more of a toilet face than a thinking face.
Anyway, who has got the biggest stadium?
Just you wait. That's not the one that caused you the most bother, let me tell you. James, how do you think it went?
Not too great, mate, but we'll see. Gordon wasn't too good either, so we'll see.
Okay, James, thank you.
James has just set this up. James, if he beats you, you're now in trouble. Stuart Armstrong, trouble. James, what happened there?
I know. It's
first question, nerves, wasn't it?
What did he say?
It's passed, I think. It's a tough school.
I'm not laughing because it's not. We're not the end 1-0 here.
1-0 to Gordon DL. Tannadice has got the bigger capacity. You both got it 2-1. You're absolutely not getting the Mariners.
You know what I was talking about.
The Mariners are a Seattle baseball
what
team.
What are they called again?
Yokohama
Mariners.
Not Mariners.
What was it?
Mariners.
Mariners. Okay.
No.
Nerds and Nors.
The Mariners. That sounds like
Yokohama.
An old 50s pop.
Are you joking? You're not giving me that.
It was nowhere near right.
No, you can't get that.
Shut up, James. We're not talking.
I thought even a calculated guess from either of you. Peterhead, the fish.
Fisherman 2-1.
This is where you learn about different characters here, right? Managing My Life is the autobiography of which Scottish football manager? Now, you might not know that. You might not. So you didn't know it. So you think, well, who's it likely to be? Sir Alex Ferguson. James did the same. Who's it likely to be? Derek McInnes.
I'm so glad I'm playing James.
With no disrespect to Derek, who's a fine manager. His autobiography might have to come somewhere down the line. It was Sir Alex Ferguson.
Oh, yes!
3-1. And I'm heartbroken to say he even got a bit of salt in the wounds because Tagawa and Oda are two Japanese players.
What camera did I look into?
That one right there, I think. Speak, it'll pick up your voice.
I'm over the moon. Is that a 4-1?
The wee light's no one. You're going to have to do it to that one.
Oh, hold on a minute. Thank you, James.
Oh, no, it's back on that one. There
you go. 4-1. 4-1 victory. And just showed you.
Give him a message right down the lens. That was disturbing. Never do that again. James, we appreciate you playing, though. Good man.
Cheers, Gordon. Cheers,
James. Unlucky. Cheers,
sounds dejected. Bother, James.
Toddle on.
Derek McInnes autobiography is available at all good bookstores.
Were you not impressed with me there? Especially after losing on Thursday night, I had to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, like a win's a winner. Who would I
use? What a guesswork in there. Even the Dundee United one, he said Dundee United.
He did get four as well, so I can't.
Four's good. Four's
good. I can't really take it away from you, I must say.
You're off and running, though. Yeah,
it's like a striker, Mark. You've got to get the first goal. You've still to play. I honestly think you'll crash. I was confident there. It was my first gig on Thursday night under the spotlight.
Under the pressure.
Yeah, last Thursday. Right, I was last Thursday, my first gig under the spotlight in
because
the studio.
Because you
I hadn't been feeling well.
Your bottle crashed and you didn't turn up on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, my clothes hadn't arrived.
That might have been what it is. Because he had the old shell suit back on Saturday. You know,
Saturday was a bit of a relief, wasn't it? I mean, I love the new studio, I love the streaming, but we all turned up particularly awful looking on Saturday because we knew that we weren't getting live streamed.
The problem we've now got is, you know, people will be sitting there waiting till we wear the same stuff. Guaranteed.
Saying he wore that 2 weeks ago on Tuesday.
100%.
It's difficult for you, Gordon, because you're every night.
You're every night.
I don't have that many options. I need to branch out.
In two weeks, you'll be in football tops.
Any menswear companies out there want to sponsor the show?
Yes. Yeah. You've already mentioned that, haven't you?
Oh, well, I'm sure there'll be. My agent's already on it.
I can imagine. Let's bring back
your sales gun down and whatever company you're wearing.
Go out there for men of your vintage. Great options nowadays.
Jack
Jan in the internet. You and Freddie Flintoff.
Oh, yes.
For the larger gentleman.
Let's go back to the phones if we can. 01419511025. If we can. Oh, I thought we were going to speak to Jerry. There he is. He's back. Jerry, how are you? Take it away.
Hi, good evening, guys. Welcome back, as you say.
Thank you.
I'm not happy about wearing this tuxedo just for a radio programme. right, I was talking about to Chris there about Rodgers' recruitment. I think there'll be more movement in and out of Celtic Park than there will be at Ibrox. Now, tonight, we're reading about this young centre-half, a Swedish direct replacement for Starfelt, Gustav Lagerbielke. Now, he's only 23. He actually looks about 16. So it tells me that there's more than one or two players that Rodgers has made his mind up about. Now, even if you discount Starfelt, that's going to be six centre-halves. So it looks the end of the story for Welsh and or Scales. And I'm not sure if he's too keen on Kobayashi. I know he's got a slight injury just now, so we'll have to leave that kind of open. I think he also looks... I was shocked to see Bain on the bench instead of Segrist. So if Bain's ahead of Segrist, who's not injured, then clearly that's it. Game's up for him. I've never been a Hart fan. I've said it most times I've been on here. And he won't do for Europe. And I would love to see... I don't know what this Croatian goalkeeper, that seems to have cooled off. Dominic Lavrenko, I think it was. And also think if he's got Yang on the bench, then... I believe Haksabanovic, who didn't show up too well in the pre-season games, I think that could be it. So I can see three or four still going and couple or three coming back in because there's still a lot of adjustments to be done, I think, before we're ready for Europe.
Yeah, Mark, is that what you would read into the defensive? I suppose if it's Starfelt out and a replacement brought in, that's not really changing much. Yeah. Celtic would always be quite likely to replace that one, wouldn't they? But you know, Jerry's saying Scales and maybe even Kobayashi, certainly Stephen Welsh, but that's kind of the same picture for those two as it was last season. It's difficult to move players on permanently, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, Scales we've seen go out on loan. Welsh, there was rumours of him leaving the club last year and
going out on loan. Those two are maybe bad examples because Scales could go out on loan. Welsh, there has been offers for him in the past. I'm thinking more of the other guys that Celtic are kind of needing to move on, but you need somebody to take them
because a lot of these players are on an incredible amount of money. So the desire maybe isn't there for some of them to really be pushing moves because they know they're not going to get the same elsewhere. It's that desire. You need one, someone interested, two, the player to want to go, and three, to get things done, which can take a bit of time. So Celtic squad is inflated. When you look at the players that don't even make the bench. There's probably a list of players that don't even go up in the matchday squad who are training at Lennoxtown in matchday. Believe me, I've been there before when you don't even make the squad. And you become a lonely figure, but a kind of resentful figure as well. So that's what I mean about it. It's sometimes hard then if people start digging their heels in for what they wrote. Yeah. So Brendan Rodgers got a tough job. The centre-half coming in, I think it's a must. If Starfelt goes out, I think they must be replaced.
There's not a huge debate about some of these, Gordon. I mean, I've seen stuff about Albin Ayeti, guys like that. They're just so far out the picture, and it really just becomes, can you get someone to buy them? Can you make a deal? What I like one of the names Jerry mentions, though, because I think there is a good debate in that. Haksabanovic, what do you think?
I'll keep him.
But you would? What's the impression you're getting, though?
Yeah, he's strengthened in those areas. Obviously, the loss of Jota. So he had to bring someone in the wide area anyway. He was going to obviously overload in that. Ability-wise, I know that sometimes you look at Haksabanovic and think maybe there's time to move him on. But I still think, me personally, that he's got a bit to offer. But I think Brendan Rodgers has been in now long enough to make up his own mind by how the squad's going to look. I totally agree with Jerry about guys like Welsh and Scales and try to move one or two others on because at the end of the day, these guys want to go out and play football anyway. I'm sure Scales enjoyed last season. Mm-hmm. I thought he was terrific at Aberdeen. because he played week in, week out, and he was a big part of the team. And he would get used to that. And all of a sudden, you get back to your parent club, and you only get a few minutes in pre-season. So it's no good to the players. But as Martin, you quite rightly says, it's finding clubs to take up the contracts of these players.
Jerry, are you comfortable enough with the exit of Carl Starfelt?
I was a bit surprised. I understand the reason. It's his girlfriend kind of thing, and it's there's one or two players who have gone in that kind of situation. I think the Danish centre-half that we had went back to Mitchelland. I think he moved back because his girlfriend was a Celtic player as well, and then she left or something like that. So I thought he actually sort of became stronger in the second season, Starfelt. And so we don't know about Navrocki or Navrocci. We don't know how good he's going to be. I never ever say I'm happy with the signings. Like the Rangers fans are saying, they're happy with the four or five or six or seven that's come in. Hal Emery's seen these guys. So I never ever say I'm happy with these signings because we know nothing about them. But if they're going to bring in this other Swede, the competition is too fierce, and somebody's got to give. And it's, what I was going to say about Aksabanovic is that we haven't given him a proper chance. He only played last season two full 90 minutes. The rest of the other appearances were coming off or coming on. Now, he still scored more goals than Kent, so I think that's a plus point in his and the bit part that he played. So I think he needs to be given something. But the boy Yang, the left-footed, comes in from the right like Salah and Mahrez. But Maeda is out there as well. So, you know, he's still got the same struggle that he had last season.
Yeah, well, I suppose for a middle to front-thinking player now, they all get subbed, don't they? You make five subs. Yeah. So, you know, this, I take Jerry's point. Maybe Haksabanovic didn't start that many games, but sort of coming off is commonplace, I suppose. But it's going to be fascinating couple of weeks to see.
You look at Turnbull didn't start that well.
But had a lot of appearances.
He had a lot coming off the bench. But Brendan Rodgers has brought something out in Turnbull. Yeah. I think Haksabanovic has got terrific ability. I really do. And I think a manager like Brendan Rodgers can probably get the best out of him. And if that's the case, then I think he could be a good addition to the squad. I think he'd be a really good player to have in the squad.
0141 951 1025. The full time teaser's back.
Oh, love them.
Back with a bang last night. A terrific question. Got a good one for you. We're going to get the lowdown on Rangers Champions League opponents as well. That's all coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. We're about to bring in Paul, who's a St Mirren fan. Then we're going to get the inside track on Rangers Euro Champions League, I should say, qualification opponents tomorrow. The full-time teaser is back, though. What a question I've got. Again, for those who are unfamiliar, just very quickly, the way it works on the full-time teaser is you send the questions to us and the pundits try and come up with the answers as the show progresses. This guy is a regular on the full-time teaser. Loves coming up with the questions. It's the crazy pony.
Oh, yes.
First time we've heard from him this season. He wants you to name eight players currently active in the Scottish Premiership, and they've scored in the Scottish Premiership for three different clubs that are currently in the Scottish Premiership. You see where he's going with that?
Stephen Fletcher.
It sounds a lot, but you just, I mean, honestly,
right away,
new season, same.
Boom, and you go, job done.
Does he tick any of those boxes? Genuinely.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for?
He doesn't play for anyone. Dundee United aren't in.
Oh, no, he does. Right. Oh, he's currently playing. All right,
but Dundee
okay.
United currently aren't in the Premiership
right,
either.
Okay, sorry, my apologies.
Let me read it six more times.
Right, okay.
Eight players currently active in the Scottish Premiership. They've scored in the Scottish Premiership for three teams that are still in the Premiership.
Tony Watt.
Yeah.
Oh no, he plays for Dundee United.
Have we got a delay on these
you
cameras?
See what I'm working with these two. Tuesday and Thursday.
The bad start.
Right, okay. The there start. Must be. hold on a minute. There must be an easy one in there to get us off and running. Brophy.
Yes.
Well done. Yes.
Can you show me your working? Not that it matters.
Yeah, St. Mirren, Ross County and Kilmarnock.
Yeah, good on you. Eamon Brophy. Any more, Mark? Do you want to join the party anytime?
Somebody's moved about.
Aye. Give me a bit of time.
Not all necessarily like out and out goal scorers, just so happens that they've scored for three teams.
Yep. I hear what you're saying.
I've got to go Mark O'Hara, but
yes.
Is he?
Well done.
Yes. I'm on fire.
And watch this for a seamless transition. Mark O'Hara, St Mirren captain, and Paul is a St Mirren fan on the line. How's it going, Paul?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on. That was the only one that I knew, by the way. So for
he's just stolen it from you. You're in good company, Paul, because apparently this student of the game spent his spare time at Easter Road at the weekend watching your team. I don't know why. I will find out. How good was that as a start to the season?
Oh, typical St Mirren, isn't it? Typical way of doing it. Now, I go to every game, home and away, and I went to most of the pre-season games. So I had the idea, you know, getting beat off in Trows and Morton, here we go again. You know, it's going to be another relegation fight. And I've went for that to put my mortgage on. I was winning the league this year, so what a difference I get my fit. That makes absolutely unbelievable. I'm absolutely on cloud nine. I've been watching it on repeat since Sunday. I was off yesterday, so yesterday I just sat watching the highlights. But yeah, I'm absolutely ecstatic.
Good way to spend your time. Go on then. You were there.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And I don't mean that because I would go to a game on a Sunday. He would go to a game on Sunday. You don't even go to games on Sunday that are at Fir Park at the bottom of your
street. I'm a student of the game.
Has taken you to Easter Road on Sunday, and I will find out what it was.
Yeah, I enjoyed the game. 5-goal thriller. Terrific crowds, I said earlier at the top of the show. I couldn't believe 17,500. Great travelling support from St Mirren. Got off to a brilliant, brilliant start.
What 2-0. Impressed you about St Mirren?
Organisation. I'll get back to the lad, Mark O'Hara, who we had in here, and his girlfriend's still in the car park, still seared to this day. I thought he's been absolutely brilliant for St Mirren, I think.
Was he good at the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought St Mirren, especially the first 60 minutes, I thought they looked so organised. They played very well. Hibs changed their formation to try and match up with them after about 25 minutes because St Mirren were overrun them, deserved to get in with their 2-0 lead. All of a sudden, a little bit of panic set in, but all credit, terrific goalie, won it, Grieve with the header. Absolutely brilliant. St Mirren deserved it. Very impressed with them. Stephen Robinson doing a very, very good job there. Top six finish last season as well. I think if you're a buddy just now, that you're very pleased with what you're seeing at Paisley.
What are you thinking, Paul, about this season then? Obviously making that top six, can you do it again? Can you build on it?
I honestly don't see no reason why not. I think something that we're kind of forgetting is we're still not playing our full team yet. Obviously we had the last minute injury on Saturday. Yeah. Big Olesanya had to come on. I'll hold my hands up. I had my doubts about him before Saturday, but he absolutely, totally proved me wrong. We've got another four kind of main strikers sitting in the wings. Obviously, Big Agnew's waiting to come back as well. We've got lots of really good young players coming through the ranks just now, and it's just absolutely brilliant. There's one player that, I mean, I'm quite happy while the transfer window's still open, but there's one player that people don't really talk about, and I don't understand why, and it's Ryan Strain, our right back. In my black and white shaded glasses, I think he's the best right back in Scotland just now. So if there's any Saudi billionaires watching, get yourself into Paisley on Saturday or the transfer window's still open.
But listen, the reason you know that he was good, Paul, because Roger Hannah is getting all sorts of stick for not including him in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Team of the Week. Did he catch your eye, Gordon? He said a very good pre-season as well, by all accounts.
Terrific. I do agree. I thought he had a terrific game on Sunday. I just thought that, you know, for 60 minutes to, or whatever it was, to Hibs score, I thought the full St Mirren team looked very comfortable. I thought everyone played as a unit, but the leader in there, and certainly the captain, Mark O'Hara, I'm really impressed with him. He had a terrific finish to last season. He scored a lot of important goals. He stepped up, scored the penalty in Sunday, Gordon. He led by example, but the rest of the teammates round about him really, you know, they chipped in with good performances. And it
saw
was
him
a well
in the gym yesterday. Dedicated professional training, straight to the gym, much like you would have done in your pump.
Exactly, in the old days. But look, whatever he's doing, he's getting his rewards because he looks a completely different player from what we used to see at Fir Park. I think he's just the right fit for St Mirren. playing with a lot of confidence, new contract signed not that long ago, captaincy, leading by example.
On a much more important note, what is he up to? Why was he at Easter Road on Sunday?
Not sure.
Something is afoot.
Get it out of him. And see how he just swerved that question. He's a master at swerving the question that you asked him. And he also keeps mentioning the attendance at Easter Road for some reason. That must be the 15th time you've told me it was 16,500.
Who cares? I was so I care because it shows you.
Evidently so.
It shows you the fans are coming out.
Why?
There
honestly, though, I'm serious because the regular listeners know you're lazy.
I'm not lazy.
You don't even go to games at Fir Park because you can't think be bothered.
You gave up golf on Sunday.
No, playing golf early.
Like, all right.
And then all the way to Easter Road. That's a trek from your house. I know
I've
where
got
you
to
live.
Say,
that's not a good drive. That.
If for anybody driving through there, please be careful.
There's
the traffic's terrible.
No easy way
terrible.
To go, is there?
It's terrible. It's the worst. It's the worst. You know what happened, right? The car. They shut the roads because the crowd was that big, Mark. They shut the roads. We couldn't get into the car park. We did park in a side street. I had new shoes on. The blisters the next day were incredible.
For the games.
It's the only criticism I'm giving Easter Road and Hibs. You've got to
steps.
Sort that out.
It's very high as well, that stand, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible.
Be in the director's box?
No, I was in where the players' families sit, and I was sitting next to...
It's your Uncle Gordon.
I was sitting next to Josh Campbell's father. I was a
Mister.
I was
Mister Campbell.
I was a bit uncomfortable because I don't know who he is, right? So they take the subs after 23 minutes. Lee Johnston decides changing.
Oh no,
it.
You've not slaughtered him, have you?
Oh, who comes off?
Yeah, no.
Your Josh, right? So I'm sitting next to his father there, and his father's not said a word. So I don't know it's his father.
Oh.
So I says, that's ridiculous. I says, never. I says, 23 minutes. I says, you lose
glad.
Your players, right? And
right,
I says,
okay. I thought you were going to say good. He's
so,
a dud.
So he started thinking.
Shouldn't have lasted 23 minutes.
So I kept saying, and why are you? Ah, my son plays. And who's your son? Ah, my son. Right, I'm going. Who's your son? He didn't want to tell me because he gets subbed.
Well, that could have brought much worse.
That
That's
could
fine.
Have been
That's
a,
okay.
a bad situation.
That's fine. Paul, go on then. Stick a number on it. You position wise, where can you see St Mirren finishing this season?
Listen, I'm daft. I'm no stupid, right? Our first and,
just
our first
daft.
And foremost thing is to stay in the league.
No, right? Not after finishing but, top six. Come on, well, live a little.
Of course, I'm pushing for top. I mean, what I will say, our next three games, we only take kind of three games at a time. Our next three games are at home, and I think any team in the league are going to worry about coming to Paisley to get 3 points. We are very, very good at home. Our fixtures for the next three wins are all at home, so. I think it'll be very, very, very hard to beat at home, and if we can pull off results like we did on Sunday, then there's no reason why we can't get over what we've done, last year. What I will just say just before I finish, well, I just want to make, I know what obviously on the part of being brilliant, I just need to give a big shout out to the guys behind the scenes, like Keith Lasley, etc. The difference in the club over the last year or so is absolutely unbelievable. Everything from the supporters, from the background staff, we all seem to be moving together. All you need to do is look at our season ticket. I think we've sold over 3,500, with obviously the other two teams quite near our doorstep. That's an incredible achievement for us. So it's a real team effort, and I'm buzzing.
There will be no bad word said about Keith Lasley on this show. You can rest assured. Thank you very much to Paul. Where did you two have St Mirren finishing quickly?
I had them 7-6 or something.
Right, okay. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much to Paul. Equally quickly, any more on that teaser?
Andy Halliday.
No.
Stevie May.
Livy, Rangers and Hearts.
Not in the Premiership.
Was Stevie May one?
In the score. In the, no.
No. Jordan White.
No.
Graham Carey.
Yes, good shout, Graham Carey, St Mirren, Ross County,
oh,
and
brilliant.
St Johnston. Okay, I did say we were going to get you the lowdown on Rangers Champions League qualification opponents for tomorrow, Servette. Let's do that with Craig King, who's a Swiss football expert. How's it going, Craig?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all. It won't surprise anyone listening to hear that Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are not Swiss football experts, so I'm glad that you're here to bring us up to speed. In terms of actually the most sort of pressing news, Servette got some personnel issues for tomorrow. I think I saw a bit of a lengthy absentee list for tomorrow. That'll be good news for Rangers fans, I assume.
Yeah, there's about 8 players missing at last count. It might be more than that now, but there was just one today with their midfielder, Gaelan Dewar, who didn't get his visa today, so he won't be playing. He's a big miss. There's suspensions. The top assister of the last two seasons, he's missing as well. So there is quite a few players that aren't going to be playing and will be a boost to Rangers. But some of them, they've known about. They didn't have them for at least the second leg against Genk.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to get through that one okay. So, yeah, it's not ideal at all. There's definitely players there that they could be doing with, especially the first leg at Ibrox.
Yeah, I feel like the last week has maybe changed preconceptions about this tie. Craig, you know, maybe Genk were favourites. You look at Servette progressing and the manner that they did, and then Rangers dropping points or losing at the weekend. It maybe changed the complexion of it a bit. What type of team are Servette then? Is that what we saw against Genk and, you know, great organisation and defensive qualities? Is that their strength, or is there something else in there?
Well, I think that game in Belgium was certainly unusual because you had that red card within 3 minutes and the game plan went out the window right away there because, again, no one's expecting that. But they adapted well. They showed their defensive qualities. They did concede 2 goals. One of them was a penalty, but they also scored twice and got themselves back into the game again. So there's definitely a switch from last season when they were a bit more conservative under the last manager. Didn't score a lot of goals. Still effective and finished second. But this time around, they've got a new manager in. They've only played 5 games, so it's hard to see exactly the difference. But they are still looking more like a high-pressing side, takes more risks. It'll be interesting to see how they line up at Ibrox because we never really got to see that game plan in Belgium. They might have planned to park the bus anyway, but they then had no choice when that red card happened. So I think in Glasgow and at Ibrox, they'll be definitely looking to hit Rangers on the counter and soak up some pressure, but they've got attacking qualities in the team as well.
Who would be, I mean, one name, maybe a couple in terms of, you know, danger men or players to watch out for Rangers?
Well, the first one that comes to mind for me is Chris Bedia. He's the striker. He's scored 4 goals in 5 games already, 1 assist. He scored in that second leg, 12 goals last season as well. So he's going to be the main danger man for me up front. You've also got Enzo Crivelli and Miroslav Stefanovic. They're going to be missing at least for the first leg. But they might be ones to watch out for in the second leg if they're fit or available. So they'll be two to watch as well. You've also got Timothy Cognat, who came through from the Challenge League with Servette. He's been on this journey with them back up to the top league and now into the Champions League, and he's improved alongside the team. He's involved in all 3 goals last week in that second leg and put in a really great performance, so he's one to watch as well.
What's the sort of mood or the feeling been like in Swiss football circles? I think it probably goes down as not easy, but, you know, winnable. I think that's the respectable way of saying it from a Rangers perspective, but Servette possibly feel the same. I don't know, what's the feeling been like?
I think the optimism's definitely grown since last week. There wasn't many people that expected them to get through this tie against Genk, even less so when they went down to 10 men so early in that second leg. So, of course, getting such a result in those circumstances really boosts morale and it really gives that belief again. But I don't think anyone's under any illusions of how difficult this game is against Rangers. They go in as the underdogs. They're a team that are very inexperienced at a European level. They only played in the Europa League a couple of seasons ago. First time in Europe for almost a decade. And then, again, they're at this Champions League level. But everything now to the team is a bonus, and to the fans as well. They've secured European football of some description in the Europa League after winning that last knockout round. And they'll just enjoy this. They'll definitely have a goal and have some optimism that they can cause Rangers problems. But if they go out, then so be it, and if they can get better than that and advance another round, then that's just magnificent for them as well.
And what lies in wait for the Rangers fans next week? I think, did I read it's the first sellout in 10 years or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't even know that stat until this week, so it's quite incredible really, because the stadium's been open since 2003. It sold out in that first opening game against Young Boys, and then it's taken so long to sell out again, but mainly because the stadium at 30,000 capacity is probably a little too big, and the club's been through quite a lot over the last 20 years or so where they've jumped from divisions and been in financial difficulty and things like that. But again, this is reward for what they've achieved last season to get to this stage, and then again in that last round against Genk, it's really everyone's bought in again, and it's going to be a really great atmosphere, hostile atmosphere. And again, they'll be hoping that they can keep this first leg tight and take Rangers back to Geneva and really make everything as good as possible for them to try and get a result at home.
Good man, Craig. Appreciate your time. That was Craig King, a Swiss football expert. I always like doing that before the games. Now we've got an idea how Servette will line up, go about things, who their danger men are. They do have that lengthy injury list, though, or absentee list. Maybe that's a bit of encouragement for you, Rangers fans. So thanks again to Craig. How are you two doing on this full-time teaser? So remember, it's 8 players currently in the Scottish Premiership who've scored a goal in the Scottish Premiership for 3 different clubs who are currently in the Scottish Premiership.
I'm going to throw one in. Johnny Hayes at Aberdeen.
Johnny Hayes at Aberdeen is not one.
Inverness, wasn't it?
So you've got Eamon Brophy, Mark O'Hara and Graham Carey.
Devlin?
Which one?
Anyone?
Nope.
Ralston?
Matthew Breckenridge.
No, St Johnston does.
Got
United.
One. Sean McHugh's got some.
Hard on it sounds, this question, eh? John Souter? No. No.
I can't understand Halliday won Livingston, Rangers and Hearts, surely.
He won't have scored in the Scottish Premiership for Livingston.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh,
Shinny?
Yeah.
Nope.
Can we just go through
Matty Kennedy?
Aberdeen, come on. Yes.
Nope.
Marley Watkins? Oh, no, I'm from this.
No, he's. All right, no, he's not on the list anyway. Come on.
We seem to be hitting the crossbar, but. Unfortunately, we're not.
There's a striker in there, right? One striker in particular who played at the weekend, featured heavily in our discussions at the weekend. Didn't get on the score sheet, but might have had a penalty. Who might have had a penalty?
Simon Murray.
Simon Murray. Ross County, Hibs, oh, Dundee, and Ross
County. I forgot he was at Hibs.
Okay, yeah. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here. They are struggling, shall we say. That's an understatement. They are struggling with this full-time teaser. So thank you to the Crazy Pony for sending it in. And your nightly reminder that if you want to send a question in, we'd love to have them on the show. So it's fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the email address. The pony tonight says 8 players currently in the Scottish Premiership. They've scored in the Premiership for 3 different clubs that are currently in the Premiership. Sounds very wordy, but once you hear the examples, Eamon Brophy, Ross County, Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Mark O'Hara, Simon Murray, Graham Carey. That's what you had before the break.
Got one.
I'll decide, thank you very much.
Guaranteed.
Ooh.
Motherwell fan, should know my players.
McGinn. Stephen O'Donnell.
Paul McGinn,
well done.
Hibs, St Mirren and Motherwell.
That's funny because you guessed every other Motherwell player apart from him until I said Paul McGinn.
Dundee, St Mirren and Hibs as well.
Was that all right?
Okay.
Scott Wright.
Brilliant.
Well done.
Yeah, thanks.
He might not be on this question next week if he leaves, but I don't know, he's still technically around, isn't he?
Yeah,
confirmed.
Yeah.
So, unless, I mean, of course, the pony sent this in probably a couple of weeks ago, maybe. No, but it's right, of course. I'm overcomplicating it. Scott Wright, Rangers, Aberdeen, and Dundee. Okay, two to get. Pretty tough, I must say. Yeah, really tough.
I thought the first six were pretty tough.
It's like you two are like wee schoolboys, all your bits of paper. I watch you during the break. I mean, of course, it's school holidays, so. Maybe you're off.
It's funny how he's
taking your mind off the ball.
Where the camera's on, as he usually is with a full time teaser.
You know what, actually,
this is very true. Now that we're streaming the show, I just wonder if you lot out there can help me out, right? Provide a service here, because if you've listened to the show historically in years gone by, you'll have noticed that I've got a sneaky suspicion that in the full time teaser, Gordon Dale looks at his phone and then suddenly gets all these answers.
And what do I look at?
The nation's going to help me here. The listening public are going to help me out.
What do I look at?
Text messages from people who give you the
answers. Oh, right, okay, which Roger Hanna would do.
Can we zoom in, please, on that one? See that camera there? Yep, over his shoulder. Zoom in on that phone.
Can they actually do that?
100%. They don't want to look at what you're looking at. Yeah,
that's privacy on that phone.
Well, but
I won't be opening that phone.
The state of that phone case. That
phone case is okay. That'll do me another season.
Yeah, okay. Just some completely on a tangent, right? that I was like saying about you two doing homework at school holidays or whatever. Did I tell you the scene that I witnessed when I drove into Clydebank this afternoon? It's a great place, right? Never a dull day in Clydebank. And you won't believe me when I say this, but I genuinely was going for a healthy option, right? But I needed it to be drive-through. I thought, I cannot get out of the car, I can't be bothered, and I'm rushing. So I'm possibly the only guy who goes to McDonald's for a salad, right? I know it was a terrible choice, right? You must admit. I was trying to be good. It was a rubbish choice. And a coffee, a weird combination to come in here to keep me awake because you two bore me to tears, right? Anyway, so I come in at the drive-thru and there's a bit of a hold-up at the drive-thru because there was, you know, it must be that stage in the school holidays where you just don't know what to get up to. So there was two young guys in front of me, one in an Asda trolley and the other one pushing it.
Came through the drive-thru.
Trying to go through the drive-thru. And their mates were all standing at the side, like filming them, like waiting for this big moment, I suppose, to be on, I don't know, TikTok or Snapchat or whatever. So I did what any self-respecting person would do, and I took a picture of them.
You've got to, mate.
And they were delighted. You've got to. Thumbs up. And, can somebody who works in these fast food restaurants tell me, is there a wee camera in that machine? Is that how they know that somebody's at the
There must be.
They must be.
Did they get served?
Please come to the next window.
So they must have noted. They must have not liked what they saw, and they refused to serve them. So the wee guys,
spoil sport.
Are out the trolley bashing the machine.
Maybe that's why they didn't serve them. That's not the best way of going about it.
Shouting at the machine, and I thought, yeah, no, listen, not that we'd condone that behaviour, but what? Listen, it's a school holidays. Get out there and
if you've not got a car,
yourself.
You don't want to go in. It's the next best way.
Maybe that's the thing. They took the trolley back for a pound. You still do that?
Oh, absolutely. Because I went this morning, I didn't have a coin. Carnage. Had to chuck my 2-year-old in one of the trolleys that doesn't have a seat.
She was in the basket.
She was freestyling all the way around. Just had to sit in where the food goes.
You need a trolley coin, mate, on your key ring.
Listen, I've got loads, but I'm not organised. I don't know where they are.
I can't believe they didn't serve the boys in the trolley.
Shame on you, Clydebank McDonald's. Where's your sense of humour?
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Be happy with it as well, I must admit.
Something that you would have done in your day.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Probably do
it tonight.
I can't believe actually that we are almost out of time. We spent far too long talking about McDonald's drive-thrus, and I think you're pretty much there on the quickly before we go. Tomorrow, our Rangers going to do it. First part of the business, get it done.
I think they will. I think they will have enough. Things will slowly get together, but just what we've heard there, 8 major absentees, it would be a huge shock if Rangers don't get a positive result tomorrow.
Gordon Dale, quickly.
Yeah, I think they'll bounce back from the disappointment of Rugby Park on Saturday night. So yeah, I'm fancy Rangers tomorrow.
Okay, looking for 2 more players currently in the Premiership who've scored for 3 Premiership clubs. Take it away, 2 more. You've got Paul McGinn, Graham Carey, Scott Wright, Simon Murray, Mark O'Hara, Eamon Brophy. These two are really tough.
Need clues.
Okay, Hearts, Rangers, Livingston.
And it's not Halliday?
No. Different order. Hearts, Rangers, Livingston. In that order.
In that order? Hearts, Rangers, Livingston. Go Rangers.
So you would have been a teammate of Halliday's at Rangers.
Yeah.
He's now at Livy. He started at Hearts.
Oh.
Yes, Jason Holt. Holt. Well done. And the last one's very tough. Hearts, St Johnstone, Ross County.
Where is Roger Hanna?
Also played for Hamilton Accies. Did he have a spell at St Johnstone as well? I might be just confusing things.
No. Get
Anderson.
He shares his first name.
Stephen Anderson.
But he shares his first name with the first name of the team that he plays for, which is Ross County.
Ross. Big Rossy. Roscoe.
He's of average size, I would say. He's average size Ross.
Ross.
You know Ross.
I do know Ross.
Medium sized Ross.
Yeah.
Callaghan.
Can't believe we're never getting that.
Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale. Back tomorrow with Cammy Bell and Marvin Bartley. Looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us. We'll speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.